John chapter 13, please. The words of the verse 30 are our text in the gospel tonight. John 13, verse 30. It says, "He then, having received the sup, went immediately out, and it was night." The theme of the message this evening is the man that left the meeting and went to hell. It's a solemn thought. It's our earnest prayer that it will not be true of any in this gospel service tonight. Can I emphasize to you that in this chapter, the Saviour is gathered together with his disciples. They're gathered together to keep the Passover. This occasion is known to us generally as the Last Supper. In other words, this was the last meal that the Saviour was to have with his disciples before his crucifixion took place on Calvary's cross. And let me emphasize to you that this meeting was not to end without events taking place and without statements being made of an extraordinary nature. In fact, some of the events of this gathering took even the disciples totally and completely by surprise. They heard statements that night, statements made in that upper room, which none of them had ever anticipated. They listened to an Old Testament scripture that was quoted by the Lord Jesus himself. It was a scripture that spoke of a person performing a cold and a callous act. And to their horror, the Saviour applied that scripture to one of them. They also heard, to their amazement, the words of in verse 21, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." Just take a moment to think of that. One of you shall betray me. One of you who have been in my company right throughout the period of my earthly ministry. It is one of you who is to perform one of the most diabolical, one of the most hypocritical acts that ever was performed by mortal man. One of you, my own disciples, is to betray me into the hands of evil men. On realizing what the Savior was saying to them that night, an atmosphere of sorrow and of sadness, an atmosphere of despair fell over the gathering. And the disciples began one after another to ask the question, "Lord, is it I?" And 11 times over that evening, the Savior heard that same question from the lips of his disciples, "Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I?" But then, from the lips of the 12th disciple, the Savior heard a different question. Because this man asked the question, "Master, Master, is it I?" Now just think of that. Here's a man among the disciples of our Lord, and they could not call Jesus Christ Lord. The Bible says that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. But this man knew nothing about the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, because this man had never been saved. Here was an impostor. Here was a man who was a hypocrite, and it was none other than Judas Iscariot. You know, sometimes when we think of Judas, we picture in our minds a man who couldn't be trusted. We think of a person, and if you were in his company, you'd always be very uneasy. You'd always feel uncomfortable and suspicious. But you know the reality, men and women, nothing could be further from the truth. Because right throughout the period of time that the disciples had known Judas Iscariot, they never once suspected him of not being saved. In fact, if I could remind you, so much did they trust this man that he had been appointed to the office of treasurer among them. Because remember, the word of God records that Judas kept the bag. You see, his outward conduct had given the other apostles no occasion, not even as much as once, to suspect him of being false. But yet, here was an imposter. Here was a man who pretended to be a child of God, when in reality, he was nothing more than a child of the devil. And at this meeting, this gathering, after he received the sop from the hand of the Saviour, Satan took full control of Judas's life. Verse 27 of the passage states that Satan entered into him. That's a solemn thing. Satan took full control of Judas's life. And he arose that night from that supper. He departed from that sacred meeting, that sacred gathering, and they went out to conspire against the Son of God with wicked men. And that's what we want to consider, what we want to meditate upon in the gospel tonight for just a short time. In this meeting, in this message, we want to think of Judas's departure from this sacred gathering, or the man that left the meeting and went to hell. You think, first of all, of the time of his departure. Our text says, he then, having received the sop, went immediately out. Notice those words, he then, having received the sop. Judas left this gathering after he had received the morsel from the outstretched hand of the Saviour. Can I point out to you that the giving of the sop was a token of favour? In those countries, if you received a sop, if you received the morsel of bread in this manner from the host of the meal or the feast, it was a token, it was a gesture of favour. So just prior to Judas's exit from this meeting, the Lord Jesus held forth his hand in mercy to this man with a manifestation of his favour, a manifestation of Christ's compassion for him. It was a manifestation that was intended to touch and to melt this man's heart. It was a token to invite him to forsake his evil design. And yet, despite having received this very definite evidence of the Lord's mercy, Judas Iscariot still chose that night to reject Jesus Christ. And remember, men and women, this wasn't his first token of mercy. There was no man more blessed than Judas Iscariot. He had heard the gospel preached from the lips of that man of whom it was said, never man spake like this man. Judas had a clear-head knowledge of salvation. There was no person who knew the way, knew the plan of salvation better than Judas Iscariot did. You know, it's striking, but it's true nonetheless, that during the time that Judas was a disciple, he had himself preached the good news of the gospel. Remember too that he had witnessed miracle after miracle performed by the omnipotent hand of the Son of God. So here was a man who was continually receiving evidences of the Lord's mercy. And they were intended to bring him to Christ in salvation. But yet, despite all that he had seen, despite all that he had heard, he still refused Christ. Refused Christ as his Savior and refused the great salvation that the Lord Jesus offered to him. And when he received the sop that evening from the hand of the Lord Jesus, he had received the last token of mercy. He had received the last opportunity to forsake his sin and to get right with God. Judas Iscariot that night was over the deadline. Over the deadline at last. He was like the people in the days of Noah, who for 120 years, they watched Noah and his family build the ark. And for the same period of time, they heard Noah warn them. Remember, Noah had preached to that generation. The Bible says that he was a preacher of righteousness. He had warned them of what would befall all those who had not taken refuge in the ark whenever the flood came. And yet, despite all that they had heard, despite all that they had witnessed, despite all the tokens of mercy that they had received, they refused to enter into the ark and be saved. They refused to enter into the place of refuge, the place of safety. And perhaps, men and women, as you said in the gospel meeting this evening, it's true to say, you have listened to the gospel. You've listened to it been preached on numerous occasions, maybe far more occasions than you could ever care to count. You've had opportunity after opportunity to get right with God. You've had token after token of the Lord's mercy. And still you're not saved. Still you're not ready for eternity. There may even be some in the meeting tonight like Judas Iscariot, acting the part of a Christian. Everyone around you in the meeting tonight, maybe everyone in your family as well, thinks that you're saved. But you know that the work of salvation has never been wrought in your heart. And for years, the Savior in his mercy has sought to bring you to himself. God has given you token after token of his favor. And again today, his hand is outstretched towards you once more in mercy, in bringing you to this gospel meeting, causing you to hear the word of God again being proclaimed. Can I ask you, will you turn your back again upon the Savior tonight? Will you leave this gospel service still unsaved, still unconverted? Remember that, like Judas Iscariot, this could be your last opportunity, your last gospel meeting, your last gospel invitation to get right with God. At this meeting, God could be giving to you his last token of mercy, the time of his departure. Think as well of the purpose of his departure from the meeting. Whenever Judas left the gathering that night, he left for a specific and an evil purpose. And yet, even as he went out through the door, the other disciples were totally misled, because they thought that Judas was leaving them, leaving their company, in order to go and do the Savior's will. If you look at verse 29, for some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. They thought he was going from the gathering to do the Savior's will. But how wrong they were. Because far from going to purchase anything, far from going to part with money, Judas Iscariot left the meeting to sell. He left that meeting with the sole intent of receiving money. He departed from that meeting, and he had no other purpose in his head other than exchanging Jesus Christ and eternal salvation for a mere 30 pieces of silver. Covetousness reigned in his heart, and the love of money, it drove him that night eternally away from the Savior. And the full force of Judas's actions in the meeting that night, they're described for us in the Psalm 41, the verse 9. It's a psalm which, in the clearest possible language, prophetically recorded hundreds of years beforehand the attitude of Judas Iscariot that night. This is what the verse says. Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread. There's the sup. There's the bread, the token. Which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. You see, men and women, Judas not merely turned his back upon the Savior and went out that night to exchange him for silver, but in effect, Judas, in departing from that meeting, he was kicking, he was striking with his foot at the Son of God. Just think of that. The man that had received so much love, so much mercy, he now treated the Savior with nothing more than absolute contempt. In the first book of Samuel, the Lord said of old Eli, wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice. And those solemn words. And yet they aptly describe what Judas was doing that night. He was despising God's sacrificial lamb. He was kicking at God's sacrifice, trampling underfoot the Son of God. He was rejecting Christ in the most callous fashion. And what for? Just a handful of silver. And maybe you're doing the same. Unsaved person, let me ask you tonight, will you barter? Will you trade? Will you exchange Jesus Christ and your hope of heaven for something in this world? Something that is absolutely worthless. Or you would say this evening, I would never openly and blatantly take money in exchange for Jesus Christ. And that may be so. But let me impress this truth upon your heart this evening. Whatever it is that takes you out of this meeting tonight unsaved, that's the price that you're putting upon the Savior. That's what you're exchanging for God's dear Son. It may be a friendship. It may be the desire for wealth, the desire for fame. It may be the favor of men, the applause of the crowd. Perhaps the love of sin, the love of drink, the desire for the dance floor. But whatever it is, it's causing you to despise, to kick at the Lamb of God. And it's taking you nearer, still nearer, to an eternity in hell. You just think for a moment of the words of the old gospel hymn. It sums it up very well. You may barter your hope of eternity's morn for a moment of joy at the most, for the glitter of sin and the things you may win. Have you counted? Have you counted the cost? The purpose of his departure. The final thing I'll emphasize to you is the result of his departure. Our text says, he then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Just think of those words. Judas Iscariot, and leaving the meeting that evening, he went out into the darkness. He went out into the darkness of the night. Just picture that in your mind. But for him, leaving the meeting that evening did not only result in him being found in the physical darkness of the night, but that physical darkness was a very vivid picture of his spiritual condition. That's often the case. Let me just point that out to you. It's often the case in the scriptures. A person's physical circumstances, their physical condition, is often a picture of their spiritual condition. Think of Nicodemus. He came by night and he was in the dark spiritually as far as the things of God were concerned. Think of Peter warming himself at the fire. He was cold. But that was true of Peter spiritually at that time as well. Maybe true of somebody in this meeting tonight. Backslidden. You're cold of heart. You're not walking with God as you should. So I want you to see, men and women, the physical darkness of the night. That was a very vivid picture of Judas's spiritual condition. Because in leaving that upper room, having rejected the Savior for the last time, Judas Iscariot went out, and they went out into eternal night, and they went out into eternal darkness. In John 12:46, the previous chapter of this gospel, the Savior said, I am come a light into the world that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And when Judas left the gathering, he left it still in unbelief. He left it still not having put his faith in Christ as a Savior. And throughout all of God's great eternity, he will be continually reminded of the treacherous act that he performed that night. And on the day of judgment, it will be more tolerable for the wicked, vile, filthy, sinful sodomites who dwelt in the cities of the plain than it will be for Judas Iscariot. You know, his punishment on that day, it is indescribable. This is what the Bible has to say about it. It had been good for that man if he had never been born. And as I finish tonight, men and women, let me say to you, the warning. The warning from this story is clear. It is unmistakable. If you have received many gospel opportunities and you're still not saved, then you need to get saved. And you need to get saved today while you still have opportunity. And if you're like Judas Iscariot, if you have been living the life of an imposter, letting on that you were saved, when all the while that you're not, then the warning for you is this. You need to throw off that cloak of hypocrisy, and you need to flee to Jesus Christ before it is forever too late. Because remember, if you die unsaved, having received the blessings, the many privileges that you have received in your lifetime, it would have been better for you too. Better that you'd never been born. God has been merciful to you in bringing you to this another gospel meeting. Think of the Savior sitting at the table that night, his hand outstretched with the token, the bread, the sop, as he reached it to Judas Iscariot. Let me assure you, men and women, his hand is outstretched still. It's outstretched in this meeting tonight, inviting you to come to him, inviting you to come to himself for salvation. And I plead with you this evening, don't leave the meeting. Don't go from the house of God tonight without getting things settled for eternity. The man that left the meeting and went to hell, will that be true of you, my friend? Will you leave this gospel service tonight, step over the deadline, go to hell, go out into a lost eternity? What an awful thought, what an awful prospect that is. We urge you tonight, plead with you, be sure before you go from this place that you know that you're right with God, saved by his grace, and it's well with your soul in the light of eternity. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. May the Lord use his word to the saving of souls tonight. 236, we'll sing just three verses as we close tonight. Out of Christ, without a Saviour, oh, can it be? Like a ship without a rudder on a wild and stormy sea. Oh, to be without a Saviour, with no hope nor refuge nigh. Can it be? Oh, blessed Saviour, one without thee dares to die. 1, 3, and 5, please.